First, let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Ananda Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Ananda Forbes. AnandaForbes.com is her website. Hello, Ananda.
I'm Andy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We are going to talk about slow travel. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Let's define what slow travel is, and then we'll get into some of the examples and things.
Yeah, it all sounds very zen. It's a very mindful approach to experiencing a destination more deeply, focusing on connecting with local culture, customs, and rhythms rather than ticking off tourist sites, which is good because I think sometimes we can fall into that little trap of, okay, we got to see this, we got to see this. But it does involve staying at a location for an extended period of time, being intentional with time, and adopting a more leisurely and immersive mindset to fostering meaningful connections with people and places. Again, it sounds very zen, very, it focuses on personal awareness and sustainability, moving away from mass tourism to more authentic and personal travel experiences. And we've kind of touched on this in the past with regards to maybe don't go to that destination super popular, but maybe going to a destination close by instead.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. And like you say, like you get on some excursions or tours or even itineraries where it's go, 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 go. You're seeing this and seeing that, and you don't really absorb the culture or even stop to just take it all in, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's, I think there's even a commercial out right now about how, it, you know, like travel's not an adventure anymore. It's just ticking off your checklist. So you know, you're going to explore lesser known attractions, lingering in like cafes and discovering hidden neighborhoods. Because I think one of my favorite memories was in Paris. Yes, it's a huge destination and very popular, but we were just walking. It's a great walking city. And we just sat at a cafe in one of the outer communities and just had macaroons. And that was really fun for us. Like, you know, we just kind of people watch. I think people watching is quite fun.
I think so too.
You can actually kind of build a connection with like the locals. Maybe it's just the merchant of the place that you are staying or that you are, you know, the cafe or residence, and you kind of understand the kind of like what goes on in that community, right? Yeah, they're, you know, their everyday life, not just running around.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of reminds me of the scene from National Lampoon's Vacation where they stop at the Grand Canyon and, you know, 5 seconds, okay, we've seen it, and then go on, move on to the next thing, right?
So that's it.
So is this a generational thing too? Like, is it seemed to me that the older you get, the more you want to observe or absorb cultures rather than go, go, go?
I think it can be that, because definitely maybe you've already been there, done that kind of thing, and now you have the time because perhaps you are retired or you can work remotely and spend more days and weeks and even months in one location to get a true feel of it. And I know that's, you know, how kind of like VRBOs or homestay rentals kind of have come into popularity just to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, how you do it is like, you rent rooms in a house or platforms, just like we talk about, to connect with the local and become part of the everyday rhythm and life. So, you know, what a good comment from somebody that does that is that we aren't visitors. We are actually, we live here now, you know, for that time frame that you've designated for that. And then also it's a good opportunity to use local transportation. So you can opt for trains and buses or walking. You know, what a great way to get your steps in, right? Just to better experience the journey and the surrounding landscape. And also kind of let go of the fear of missing out and just appreciate you being in that moment, being present, and you know, the small details that you discover. Now, I'm definitely a shopper, and one of my things is I just love to roam. I just like to, you know, just to see, you know, what this store is. I'm not an A to B person. I like to go down this. If you see a road that might look interesting, let's go down it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Are tour companies aware of this now and adjusting their escorted tours as such? Because it seems to me this is more of a do-it-yourself kind of thing.
Yeah, they are. There are some companies, such as like one of my bucket lists is to go on the Orient Express, and there is one that's similar to it that's just getting released. It's called La Dolce Vita, mm-hmm. and it focuses in Italy. So this is like a sleeper train that you can go on. It's a remodeled luxury train that goes from Sicily to Rome. It immerses the passengers in the country's culture, as well as just enjoying the scenery as you go by. You know, it's always nice to, I think it is. It's nice when you read a book and then you kind of go to that destination. So it's kind of like in the spirit of Agatha Christie, mm-hmm. His famous character Perrault and what he does, like when he kind of rolls along and kind of does his thing in all these fabulous destinations. And Italy is one of the most popular destinations of my clients and just people in general. Like it's such a wonderful place to experience. Whether it's the wine country, because these itineraries are between 1 and 3 nights aboard. And perhaps you could double that if you wish. But just keep in mind, it is not a knockoff, but it's similar to the Orient Express. So it does come with a beautiful price tag as well.
Good for you to say that. But yeah, they kind of copied the Orient Express. And it runs from Rome to Palermo.
Yes.
And I think it would be a great way to explore Italy.
Oh, absolutely.
It seems to me that rail travel is kind of the original slow travel anyways. I mean, apart from bullet trains, but which they're just designed to get you from point A to point B anyway. But it seems any kind of rail travel is sort of the original slow travel to me.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think, you know, it just brings to mind, you know, just gazing at the scenery or just even reading a book or just, you know, having a conversation with your travel companion, whether it's your partner or your friend. I think sometimes that gets lost. It's just having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you meet all kinds of people, too, on a train. Like if you go into the dining car or the bar car or the scenic car, whatever kind of train you're on, and you just strike up conversations with people and meet all kinds of different people.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, when I say it does come with a price tag, it does, but it could be a bucket list opportunity too. So,
well, if it's something you want to see, like you can save for it and budget for it and those types of things and, you know, do it. Why not? Right.
Right. Yeah. And it's amazing how far in advance you can, book things, like whether it's 1 or 2 years. So yeah, definitely think about it. It is a nice way to explore the country, and just see something different. And just even have the opportunity to experience, you know, what it felt like, because back into the day, this was the mode of travel.
Yeah, right. And it wasn't considered slow travel back then.
Not at all.
How times have changed.
Yes.
Good stuff. Onanta Forbes is a travel expert. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. Good chatting with you, Onanta. Thank you.
Thank you.